Good morning. Good to see you here on this Sunday morning here, our last Sunday of 2018. I know it's crazy, but hey, we're here, so let's embrace it and let's get ready for 2019. As we get into God's Word, let's just go there together. Let's have a prayer. If you want to get your Bibles out with me, you can turn to the book of Acts. I'll be in Acts chapter 11 here in a few moments. So good to see every single one of you. I pray that you've had just a very blessed week with your families over the Christmas holiday. And as we get ready for one more round of holidays here with New Year's Eve and New Year's Day, that the Lord's hand is upon you in every way. Let's pray for God's word here this morning. Father, I thank you, God, just for your rich presence that is in the sanctuary today. And I pray right here, right now, that Father, there is an anointing that rests upon my words, an anointing that rests upon the presentation, Father, Lord, an anointing, God, in this atmosphere, in this room. I pray our focus from our phones to our children to everything, God, around us, that our focus is on the Word of God and what you want to speak to our lives today. So together as we go there, we exalt you. Together as we go there, we want to receive our hearts and our minds ready. And Father, as this message points to a time of prayer in these altars, Father, Lord, may your will be accomplished in and through our lives. In Jesus' name, together we say, amen. Amen. Well, if you would, I'll be in Acts chapter 11 here in just a moment. Over the past several Sundays in the month of December, we have been in this series called What a Beautiful Name. Now, I know most of you have been with me in that series. Perhaps if you haven't been in service, you've listened online, and which I'm grateful for each and every one of you. But you know what the series is about. It's about discovering, embracing, exalting, and proclaiming the beautiful name of Jesus Christ. If we go all the way back to the very first Sunday, then we spoke upon this. Psalms 96 tells us to ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. May every single time we gather together in God's house, the focus be on Jesus Christ, and may we give him the glory that is due his name. Philippians chapter 2, verse 9 tells us that he was given, Jesus Christ, the name above all other names. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3 says that Jesus, he is the radiance of the glory of God and the very exact imprint of his nature, and it is through him that the universe is upheld by the word of his power. It's powerful. Matthew chapter 1, verse 23, we went there together last week as we went through the Christmas story. We talked about his name, Emmanuel, which means God with us. Father God, thank you for giving us Jesus Christ, your Son, to be with us, to live within us through the power of the Holy Spirit. Church, you know this. There is absolutely no other name like the beautiful name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, over these past few weeks, as we focused on this, we have spoken much on the impact of the name of Jesus and how precious and powerful it is to every single one of us. And we have considered with each and every message, if you've really been paying attention, we've considered with each and every message what his name means to us in a very personal way. And I believe, and it is my heart's desire, that every single person in this sanctuary here this morning, that you have been touched by the powerful name of Jesus Christ. And when you utter that name, it means so much to you because of what he's doing in your life and through your life. Now, as we close out the year here on our final Sunday of 2018, I stand with you in being incredibly grateful for who Jesus is, for who he is to me, for what he's doing inside of me, for what he continues to do through me. I'm thankful for what he has accomplished in and through all of our lives together. I'm thankful that he is with us in every life circumstance, in every passing moment. We know that Jesus is with us and he has helped us. But this morning, as I give you this word, I want to come from the angle that as we consider again the beautiful, wonderful, and powerful name of Jesus, we're not so much of what Jesus means to us as we've been talking about, but how we have reflected that name. How have we wore that title? How have we given testimony and witness to the beautiful name of Jesus Christ? You see, church, not only is there importance of understanding what the name of Jesus means to each and every one of us, on in that how we find so much life, we know that. We find peace, we find joy, we find purpose and grace and love and hope. We find all of that in his name. But there's also much importance on how you and I choose to reflect the name that has been given to us through our relationship with Jesus Christ. From our conduct, the way that we handle ourselves in all of life situations, in our conversations, in our worship, in our giving, in the way that we volunteer our time, the way that we handle every single thing that we're faced with every day. It is important how you and I reflect the name of Jesus. So here's what I'd like for you to do with me this morning. As we come to this final Sunday, it's okay to look back. Now, we don't live in the past, but it's okay to look back to evaluate where you have been, because you need to evaluate where you have been in order to see where you're headed. So on this final Sunday, yes, we're going to look back as we consider this thought, but we're doing it so we can look ahead on how we need to approach this year that is ahead of us. Now, I realize it's just another month. It's just a number on the calendar, you know, and it's another day. But I know many of us, we come into a new year, we're thinking new things, and you do kind of take the newness of that. But what I want you to really focus on as you talk about Jesus Christ, that beautiful name, how has your life and is your desire to reflect the nature of Jesus Christ? Now, church, you know the scriptures well with me. We go to Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. It says, you are the light of the world. As believers in Christ, as Christians, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp, put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, in the same manner, let your light shine before others so they may see your Christian works, your good works, and give glory to the Father who is in heaven. You go to the Apostle Paul as he's writing to the believers in Philippi. He says in his letter, Philippians chapter 2, verse number 12, says, dear friends, you always followed my instructions when I was with you. Now that I'm away, it's even more important. He goes on to talk to them and build them up and encourage them. And he says in verse 13, for God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. Then when he gets to verse 14, he writes, do everything without complaining and arguing, so that no one can criticize you. Live clean, innocent lives as children of God, shining like bright lights in a world full of crooked and perverse people. Now, as you and I look at passages such as these, and there are others throughout Scripture that we will find, these passages give clear insight on the responsibility that every single one of us has as we bear the name of Christ. We are to reflect His nature and who He is. Amen? These are not presented as an option. These are presented as a mandate. When you read through these scriptures, they are a directive in helping us understand what it is to live for and serve the Lord Jesus Christ. I will tell you this morning. Being a Christian is not about you being glorified. Not talking about how good you are. Being a Christian is about glorifying Jesus. It's not about glorifying all the things that go on in your life. It's about glorifying Jesus. If you've done something really awesome in the name of Jesus Christ, that's not about you. It's about Jesus Christ working in and through you. And to him, he is exalted. Some of us, we like to glorify all of our circumstances. We spend all of our time talking about all of our life circumstances. And in that, some people would think, well, I think being a Christian is talking about all the bad stuff that goes on in your life. Being a Christian is not talking about all the bad stuff that goes on in your life. Being a Christian is about glorifying Jesus Christ and how he has helped you through all those things that go on in your life. Amen? It's your focus. It's your attitude. Allow me to ask you a few personal and direct questions this morning. Now, you do not have to answer them out loud or raise your hand. I just want to put them in your heart and your mind as we go through this message. The first one is this. Has 2018 been about glorifying Jesus or you being glorified in all of your life circumstances, whether that's good or bad? Has 2018 been about being the best you in Christ? Has 2018 been a year you can look back on and say, I've grown in my relationship with Jesus, and I've also grown in how I handle life's adversities and also life's victories? Has 2018 been a year where the beautiful, wonderful, and powerful name of Jesus has been reflected in your nature, in your conduct, in your words, in your decisions, in your giving, in your serving, in your worship? Church, I will tell you this, we are at our best when our lives reflect the nature of Jesus Christ. We are at our best when our conversations have Christ within them. We are at our best when we are worshiping with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, when the way that we handle everything that is before us, when we do that in the name of Jesus and we look to how he would handle that and we look to how the Holy Spirit would lead us in that, when we're speaking with love, when we're speaking with a positive mindset, the way that we carry ourselves every single day tells us whether or not we're reflecting Jesus Christ. And we are at our best when our desire is to reflect Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the Savior of our life. I want to take you this morning for a few moments to Acts chapter 11, verse number 19. And I'm going to read just a few verses. Now, we'll look at some of the passages around it. I will not do it in its entirety. I encourage you to do that when you have the opportunity. Of course, the entire book of Acts is powerful, but really focused in on Acts 9, 10, 11 here this morning. But Acts 11, verse number 19 reads this. Now, those who were scattered because of the persecution that arose over Stephen, they traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, speaking the word to no one except the Jews. But there were some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who on coming to Antioch spoke to the Hellenists also, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number who believed, they turned to the Lord. The report of this came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he came and saw the grace of God, he was glad, and he exhorted them all to remain faithful to the Lord with a steadfast purpose, for he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. And a great many people, they were added to the Lord. So Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. For a whole year they met with the church. They taught a great many of people, and in Antioch the disciples were first called Christians. Now, this passage really stands out to me, not only because of the name Christians being first given to the believers, but also because of the optimism that is presented in how the church overcame adversity by continuing to proclaim the beautiful, wonderful, and powerful name of Jesus Christ and also proclaiming his message. You see, when you read through these chapters, you will find their lives were not centered around their adversity, but around Jesus, the one who could shine light in the darkness, the one who could save and heal and restore them, the one who could give true peace, joy, and hope. That's what their lives were centered around. That was Jesus Christ. Now, they had very justifiable reasons to just stop with what they were doing. If you are a student of God's word, you will understand that after the Holy Spirit was poured out upon the believers in that upper room, of course, there was an awesome day that day. We know thousands of people were saved. The church was on the move. We know that. But after a time, there was a great persecution that rose against the church. We picked it up here right after Stephen, known as the first Christian martyr. He was stoned because of his faith. And because of that, there has fear that's, you know, struck a lot of people, and there's just a lot of things happening in the world, and it's very chaotic and it's very dark. And so because of all that's taking place, the people that believed in God, the Jews and the Gentiles, their lives were at stake. Many of them were persecuted in a very heavenly manner, and they were scattered amongst the region. They lost their homes. The people, the Christians in Jerusalem, they were pulled from their homes. Everything about them was under attack. Their family, their lives, their homes, their careers and their finances, it was all under attack. And so they were persecuted in such a manner that they even had to scatter and flee from their home. Did they have a justifiable reason to look up and say, you know what? Enough's enough. I'm just going to sit back. I'm going to do nothing. I'm going to be quiet. I'm just going to believe, you know, silently within, and I'll just kind of leave it at that. We could probably look at that and say, well, they probably got a pretty good reason to do that. But they chose not to do so. They chose to rise up in the name of Jesus Christ, and you know what? Continue to proclaim his powerful name. Continue to proclaim his beautiful name. Nothing was going to keep them from reflecting what God was doing amongst the people. Is a powerful testimony for living for Jesus Christ. And so we see this unfolding in their lives. And in chapter 9, chapter 10, chapter 11, we see some powerful things within the church. And what we find is that the church, instead of stopping, instead of holding back, instead of being frustrated, instead of just kind of being numb, instead of just going through the motions, instead of really just doing nothing at all, what we see God's people doing is calling upon the name of Jesus, and they continue to push forward in mighty power and mighty effectiveness. What you see is here, they are making much progress as they are operating at a very high level. I'm not going to keep you long this morning, but for the next few moments, I want to share some things with you, what I see happening in this church and the things that they were doing and how they were reflecting the beautiful name of Jesus as they operated at a high level of faith. The first thing is this: the Christians were operating in their gifts. The gifts that had been given to them by God. You go back to Acts chapter 9, verses 34, 35, 36. You read the beautiful story and testimony of how Peter, he is at work. He's using those gifts, the gift of miracles, the gift of healing, the gift of faith. Peter's laying hands upon individuals and they are being saved. There's an individual whose name is Dorcas. Her also, her Hebrew name is Tabitha. She was an incredible woman. The scripture will tell us that she was a woman of compassion, that she would be the woman who would be helping Tracy with the Christmas, with Love Out Loud, because she had charitable acts and she was kind to people and compassionate to people, and she wanted to make people had what they needed in their life. And so the gifts she used were just as powerful. The scripture will tell us that she became sick and she died. The Lord wasn't finished with her, so he wanted to be glorified in both of these situations. So he used Peter's gifts to reach out and raise her and heal her. And then now he can continue to use the gifts she has. I'll ask you a question. Who had the greater gifts, Peter or her? They're equal, because just as much as we need Peter laying hands upon individuals, we needed Tabitha going out and reaching and touching people and touching their lives and ministering to them. You see a powerful thing happening here. When you study the early church, you will see not just the apostles, but you will see just the everyday layperson in church using the gifts that God has given them. Church, I want to tell you this morning, as we look at 2018, going into 2019, the church is at its best when every single one of us are using the gift that God has placed in our lives. Every single one of us. And notice, your gift may be the gift of healing and faith and miracles. We want you laying our hands on people, and we want to see them rise up and be healed in the name of Jesus. Some of you have a gift of kindness and a gift of compassion, a gift of greeting, a gift of loving, a gift of giving. Whatever that gift is, there is no greater gift over the other. It takes every single gift to make the church be at its best. And in the name of Jesus Christ, may we be at our best as we move into 2019. May 2019 be a desire of this church, not just the pastor and the deacons and a few others, not just the volunteers we have and the ministry leaders we have, but may every single person from the front row to the balcony, wherever you may be seated, may you have this inside of you that says, I want to use the gift that God has given me. And if you don't know what it is, let's discover that gift together. Let's find out what God wants to do in your life, because when the church is using their gifts in such a manner, people take notice. Community has changed. You will read over and over how thousands of people were coming to know Christ because of the actions of the early church. They did that because everybody was using the gift that God had given them. Too many of us sat back, were a little bit fearful of getting it wrong, or maybe we just don't completely understand, or maybe we're comparing ourselves to others. Can we put all that aside? Because God has created you as you are, and he needs you to be active in his kingdom. Amen? He needs you to be active. You notice how the amens got a little bit less the more challenge that got out there. You notice that with me? All right. The Christians were operating in their gifts. The second thing I see here is we go to Acts chapter 10. Verses 1 and 2 and verse 9, you'll see it throughout here. The Christians were praying. They were a prayerful church, and they followed God's lead. You heard Pastor Cody just do a beautiful job in challenging us this morning to follow God's lead. The early church, you know this when you read the story for yourself and the scripture for yourself. They were devoted to prayer. They understood that the commission given to them by God through his son Jesus would not be successful with just a few people in a few minutes of prayer, but that the church as a whole, the nature of the church, now guys, I'm talking about all of us, the nature of the church had to reflect Jesus and reflect his prayer life, and that was they were people of prayer. If you've been with us at all on Wednesday nights, you understand that it's Michelle and I's desire that we take those last 15, 20 minutes of that Wednesday night service and we intercede in prayer. Can I tell you, I know people are praying all the time. I feel your prayers and I hope you feel ours. And we pray for one another and we have our personal times and we have our own personal war rooms and we have all of that that's taking place. And that is so good and we have to have that. But together as a body of Christ, we have to be a prayerful people, because it is prayer where lives are changed, amen? It is in those moments. When you read, you'll see that God honored Cornelius and he honored Peter. He brought them together. The reason why they even came together is because they had a vision. Why did they have a vision? Because they were in an attitude of prayer. And God spoke to them and he brought them together, which showed that the Gentiles too could receive the good news of Jesus Christ. We are at our best when we do this. And when we're a prayerful church, I'm going to tell you, Jesus is going to be exalted. The third thing here, go to Acts chapter 10, verse 34 and 35. The Christians accepted the truth that God shows no favoritism, that he loves all of us the same. Regardless of what that looks like, he loves us all. You see, Peter had an issue. You know this. Peter had an issue. that the gospel was for the Jews. Then he was given that vision to show that the gospel was for the Gentiles. And then he even had an issue trying to overcome that, because when he was around the Jews, oh, he was just like them. But when he was around the Gentiles, he wanted to be like them. And he was trying to keep that separated because he didn't want the others to be offended. And then the Lord got onto him for that through the Apostle Paul. But Peter had to kind of grow through this, and he had to embrace this. Well, Peter was instrumental in helping the church embrace the truth that God shows no favoritism. There are many cultures. Peter understood that. Now, in recognizing all the cultures and recognizing all the backgrounds and recognizing all the demographics, never, ever do we water down the gospel message. Never do we change the gospel message. Never do we change the truth of who Jesus Christ is. But can I tell you, God accepts us all for who we are, no matter what our pedigree is. No matter the color of our skin, no matter our nationality, whether we are white, a farm boy from Muldrow, or whether we are African-American or Hispanic, or whether we are from any other country or any other nation, he accepts us all. Can I tell you, if you think heaven's going to look just like this church, you're in for a big surprise. Amen. When you meet Jesus face to face, you're going to realize he looks like he's not from the U.S. Think about it. So I'm just here to tell you, and you're good, but yes, do I hear things every once in a while, you know, undertones? I do, and as your pastor, I want to correct that, and I want to say, this church welcomes everybody for whatever pedigree you have. I don't care what your financial status is. I don't care what your history is. I don't care how many times you've had divorce or how many circumstances or what's going on in your life. This church accepts everybody because everybody can be a child of God in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. 2019, as our community changes, may this church change. As more people are brought into this community, may this church change. And may the way that we look change. What do I mean by that? That we represent all people that live in this area. Because Jesus is for all of us. Amen. Certain dresses, certain styles, certain things that people do, perhaps I would do or not do or whatever, that's not what it's about. What it's about is that Jesus accepts us as who we are. Maybe some of us need a vision like Peter had. I don't know. But God, whatever you need to do, teach us, this church, help us to accept everyone as they come through. Now, in that, we're not going to change the gospel. We're not going to change the truth of his word. We're going to proclaim Jesus Christ, but Jesus for everybody. Amen? Amen. Appreciate your support on that one. Here we go. Some of you got a little bit nervous on that one. Here we go. Acts chapter 10. Number four, what we see happening here. I just wanted to show you what's happening around this verse where they first, when they became Christians. The Christians embraced the power of God's word. So there it is again. We mentioned it many times this morning. Peter was preaching the word of God, and as the people listened, they were being touched. They were changed by the word. We know the word is alive. It's powerful. It's active. It speaks deep into our souls. It's a work that's taking place within us. They accepted the word of God and no other word. It was the word of God that was changing them. Number five, the Christians saw evidence of the moving of the Holy Spirit. I take you to Acts chapter 10, verse 44. It says, while Peter was still saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the word. And the believers from among the circumcised who had come with Peter, they were amazed because the gift of the Holy Spirit, it was being poured out even upon the Gentiles. Upon everybody else that wasn't Jewish, the Holy Spirit was being poured out. For they were hearing them speak in tongues and extolling God. A powerful thing was happening within the early church. They didn't just talk about having a move of God. They encountered a move of God. It's one thing to say God is at work, but it is something totally different to see the evidence of it. And as we come out of this year and move into a new year, may people be able to come into this house of worship, this house of prayer, this house of God, and not only hear us talk about a move of God, but may they be able to embrace the move of God as it is taking place amongst our people. Amen? May every single one of us have the move of the Holy Spirit upon our lives. Whatever that looks like, as we follow along with what Scripture says, may the Holy Spirit move in all of our lives. May he speak to us, build us, encourage us, fill us, use us, empower us. Whatever it is that God wants to do, may we be the church that doesn't come in and just sit and watch, but we come into the church that says, we want to interact with you, God, and what you want to do. Amen. You guys are looking at me like saying, Pastor, hey, holidays, 2019, calm down, save it for a couple of weeks from now. I'll be traveling. I won't be here. No, we're not going to do that. Amen. Because God, as we come out of this, I want to evaluate what this year looks like. And I want to evaluate what this next year could look like as I follow what God wants to do in and through our lives. Amen. The Christians saw the evidence of the moving of the Holy Spirit. We are at our best when we see the evidence of God's work in and through our lives. We are at our best when we really don't have to say anything and people see what's happening within our lives. When people see what God is doing in others' lives They see God's power work at first hand, and they're able to embrace Jesus and glorify him and exalt him. Let me give you another one, number six. And I've only got a couple more. If you're wondering, like, how many does he have this morning? I'm running out of room. All right, here we go. The Christians demonstrated a teachable spirit. Now, when you look at this again, Acts chapter 11, the first four verses, really gives us some insight. The apostles and the brothers who were throughout Judea heard the Gentiles also had received the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcision party criticized him, saying, "You went to the uncircumcised men and you ate with them?" Then Peter, he began and he explained to them what was taking place. You see, as this move of God is happening, it's not just happening upon the Jewish people. The Gentiles are getting saved. The Gentiles are getting baptized in the Holy Spirit. The Gentiles are being baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And now they're receiving this powerful thing that is happening. And aren't you thankful? Because we're all Gentiles. Because if you're not Jew here today, you're a Gentile. So thank God that this was happening. But here's what was taking place. The apostles, the religious leaders, and I want you to see the good in this, okay? We could easily say, wow, what's wrong with these racist people? But I want you to see something here. The apostles criticized Peter because they didn't understand what was taking place. They knew God wanted the gospel to be preached everywhere, but intellectually they did not get the fact that God's word and salvation would go beyond themselves, go beyond Jerusalem, their own nation, and it would impact all people. So yes, their initial reaction is to be prejudiced. Their initial reaction is to say, no, these people are not like us. That was their initial reaction. Jesus was given to us. So they're showing their lack of understanding. They're showing their ignorance and their foolishness here. But I want you to see something. In this moment, they sat and they listened to Peter as he gave the report. As he was given the report, my understanding is they began to criticize what he was saying, but he continued to speak under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And as he continued to speak, there was a silence that came over the room. And every one of those who criticized what the report was about, they began to listen to the words of Peter. They understood, hey, something's happening here. There's an anointing upon Peter's life. They're receiving what this anointed word is. As they are receiving this anointed word, the scripture goes on to say that they glorified God because they realized right then and there that the gospel was not just for them, but it would be for all men. All humanity. So they changed. In this moment, this is powerful because in this passage of scripture, they shifted from being prejudiced to saying, okay, God is doing something here. He's showing us something. He's helping us recognize that the gospel is for everyone. In that moment, can I tell you, Jesus would be glorified. He would be exalted. You'll see that here in just a moment. What I see here is that they were willing to receive what Peter had to say. And in doing so, they demonstrated having a very teachable spirit. Now, I don't know about you, but I evaluate that often in my life. I want to have a teachable spirit. Being a disciple of Christ means that you have a teachable spirit. And what do I mean by having a teachable spirit? That means you learn what the Word of God is speaking to you. You hear what God is speaking to you in your prayer time, in your worship, in your life circumstance. It means you are led by the Holy Spirit. Sometimes that is to encourage you and to build you up because you may feel as though you know that you have failed or that you have messed up, but God reminds you, no, I have not failed and you have not failed. You are mine. And so he begins to encourage you and he begins to build you up. You want to hear that when God speaks that to you. Sometimes it's a word of correction. Sometimes you're in a moment where the Holy Spirit's saying, hey, wrong words, wrong attitude, wrong action, wrong response, or you didn't do what I needed you to do. Hey, you've been a little bit lazy on this. Hey, you haven't given your all. And the Holy Spirit begins to speak to us. How many know that's good when the Holy Spirit speaks to you that way? And I'm going to tell you, I'll jump out to you. This is a very strong personal opinion. If you have not been corrected this year by the Holy Spirit, then you've not learned how to listen to God. Because nobody in this room has got it perfect all year long. Somebody has said the wrong thing, right? Somebody's had the wrong attitude. Somebody didn't do the dishes like they told their spouse that they would do, right? You got a little bit lazy. You hear my heart. The Lord speaks to us. He speaks to us. And in those moments, that's where we, when we listen to that, we're teachable. And it's in those teachable moments that we become our best that we can in Christ. Sometimes it makes us a little nervous because we might not want to hear what the Holy Spirit is teaching us. It's been several weeks ago, and the girls probably don't even remember that we were talking about something, and the phrase was used, you know, Dad, oh, you're just set in your ways. And I thought about that. You know, as a young man, I was always like, oh, you older people all set in your ways. I'm just 47 years old, all right? If I'm already set in my ways at 47, what am I going to do when I'm Lou Matthews' age? Lou, what am I going to do? No. I love my sister. She said, you're going to be good, brother. You're going to be good. Love. Can you imagine? We get set in our ways. We don't want to change. We don't want to change the way we do things, right? Some of us have never moved our couch from the very first place when we first bought it and put it in the house. That's a good indication you're not good on change, right? Right. Sometimes we just maybe don't want to hear it. In that moment, I thought, Lord, well, I don't want to be that way in my Christian walk. I want to be set in your ways, not my ways. And the only way I can be set in your ways is I keep learning and if I keep growing. And if the church isn't teachable, boy, we're missing it, aren't we? We are missing it if we're not teachable. If we don't allow the Lord to encourage us, speak to us, correct us, show us what we need to do, how to move, how to respond, if we're not listening to that, we're going to keep falling on our face. We'll keep messing it up in our home, in our relationships, at work. We'll just keep getting it wrong. In order to move forward, you got to be teachable and hear what the Lord is speaking to you. And if you will follow that lead, he will not disappoint you. Amen. Being teachable, it's a powerful trait. Just because you graduated high school doesn't mean you're done learning. Amen. Just because you've received something. And Frankie, congratulations on receiving your master's. I'm going to show that picture soon. She received her master's, right? That's right, master's. And her doctor, when she was first going through her battle, said, you better get your affairs in order because life won't be long. And look at her now. She's got her master's moving forward, healed in the name of Jesus Christ. Praise God, Frankie. Praise God. Praise God in the name of Jesus. You keep glorifying him and all that. You talk about being teachable. The Lord has not spoke to me about getting my master's yet, all right? Awesome. Awesome. And Opal Gray, so good to see you. I see you over there, your beautiful face. She's been in and out of the hospital pretty much all year. And praise God, in the name of Jesus, she's with us this morning on this last Sunday of the year. Amen. As a church and as individuals, it is important that we allow the Lord to speak to us and we hear that and we let him do what he needs to do. Be teachable. Be teachable, amen. And the last one I'm going to give you is this, and I've said it multiple times already, but the Christians continue to glorify God as they kept pushing forward. Acts 11 and 18, after Peter had spoke to the religious leaders there, it says, when they heard these things, they fell silent, and they glorified God, saying, then to the Gentiles also God has granted repentance that leads to life. You see, at the moment, Peter was the center of attention in giving explanation to the church of what God was doing among the Gentiles. But God was the center of attention when it came time to give glory, to give honor, to give worship, to give praise. Church, we are at our best when the focus of our praise and worship is to glorify the name of Jesus Christ. Let me go back as I take us to prayer. Let me ask you these questions again with a little bit of alteration that has taken place. Does your life reflect the name of Jesus in a manner that glorifies God? Did 2018, did you reflect Jesus? Is 2019 going to be about glorifying Jesus, or is it going to be about glorifying all of your life circumstances? Is 2019 going to be about being the best you in Jesus? Is 2019 going to be a year that you choose to grow in your relationship with Christ and grow in how you handle all of life's adversities and all of life's victories? And is 2019 going to be a year where the beautiful, wonderful, and powerful name of Jesus is reflected in your nature, in your conversations, in your decisions, in your giving, in your serving, in your attendance, in your worship, and all that you do? Is 2019 going to be a year where the desire of your heart is to reflect Jesus and who he is and what he's doing through your life? I pray that you receive this word this morning and that as we keep continue to push forward, thousands of lives are touched because of the way this church has said, you know what? We're going to step it up as we keep pushing forward in Jesus Christ.